Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Today is Tzom Gedalia, a day that challenges us to consider not only what inspires us, but what we will do with that inspiration. Join today's Lech Kenos program, From Inspiration to Action, Stepping Forward for Klal Yisrael. Hear from Rebbetzin Dara Goldschmidt and Mrs. Minette Mayberg, women who recognized a need and took the first step towards strengthening and sustaining Klal Yisrael. Sign up at ouwomen.org/Tishrei26. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Bet, Chapter 2. Yesterday's perek introduced us to Yirmiyahu, a young Kohen from Anatot, designated by Hashem to serve as a prophet and initiated while he was still a youth, unskilled, and concerned that he would not be able to command the respect of the nation. The first three psukim of today's perek are actually the concluding psukim of Yirmiyahu's inaugural prophecy. And while Yirmiyahu's initial and most numerous prophecies foretold the impending destruction of Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash, as we saw yesterday illustrated by the two analogies, the two visions of the almond branch and the boiling pot, these three concluding verses are among the outstanding beautiful words of consolation that we find among all of the Nevi'im. And they also contain themes that Yirmiyahu will return to throughout the perek, skillfully, and really throughout the Sefer, skillfully weaving the threads of this image in and out of the ideas that he presents. Let's begin. Vayhi dvar Hashem elai lemor. The word of Hashem came to me, saying, Haloch v'karata be'oznei Yerushalayim lemor. Ko amar Hashem, zacharti lach chesed ne'uraich, ahavat klulotayich, lechtech acharai b'midbar be'eretz lo zru'ah. The word of Hashem came to me, saying, Go proclaim to the people of Yerushalayim, saying, So says Hashem, I remember on your behalf the kindness of your youth, your love as a bride when you followed me into the desert, an uncultivated land. Malbim interprets these words as a beautiful allegory. Hashem says, I remember the chesed of your youth, the days of the avot and the imahot and their children, who recognized me and served me and taught others to love me in a world of idolatry and paganism. They remained firm in their beliefs, creating a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of Hashem's name, with every fiber of their beings in the face of relentless obstacles and tests throughout countless challenges and hundreds of years of wandering and slavery. And all of this up to the time of Ahavat Klulotayich, the pure love of newlyweds when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and greeted us under the chuppah at Har Sinai, where he gave us our ketubah, the Torah. And because of this great love and our great desire for dveikut, for intimacy with Hashem, we followed him into the wilderness without question, relying solely on him to meet all our needs. And the merits of this chesed and this love are eternal, promises Hashem. And therefore, even now, as we are sinning and deserving of punishment, Hashem reassures us that our oppressors will be held accountable. The Nebuchadnezzars and Titus's and Ferdinand's and Isabella's and Hitler's, Stalin's and Khomeini's and Sinwar's, etc., Yemach Shemam v'Zichram, will all become the victims of their own evil as divine justice is served, while we, Am Yisrael, retain our status of Kodesh Lashem, eternally holy, possessed of Kedusha, that is inherent in every Jewish soul. Pasuk Gimel Kodesh Yisrael LaHashem Reishit Tvuato Kol Ochlav Yeishamu Ra'atavo Alehem Ne'um Hashem. Yisrael is holy to Hashem, the first of his produce. All who consume them will be found guilty. Evil will befall them, says Hashem. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, marks the beginning of the second haftarah of the three haftarot of punishment read during Bein HaMitzarim, the three Shabbatot between the 17th of Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. The Navi addresses himself to Beit Yaakov, the house of Yaakov, and to Kol Mishpachot B'nei Yisrael, all of the families of Israel. Yaakov, the root of which implies the heel, the lowest part of the foot, is a designation applied to the Jewish people when they're on a lower level, while Yisrael, implying authority, is used to refer to the Jewish people when they're triumphant, living up to their spiritual legacy. Thus, Hashem's words are addressed to the nation both when they are sinful and when they are righteous. This is an eternal covenant. Yirmiyahu now introduces a device employed by many Nevi'im to engender in the people a sense of their own foolishness in abandoning the meaningful service of Hashem in favor of the hollow worship of idolatry. The rhetorical question. The Navi turns to the people and he asks, Ma matzu avotechem bi'avil ki rachakume alai vayelchu acharei ha'hevel vayehebalu? What iniquity did your fathers find in me that they distanced themselves from me, that they went in pursuit of emptiness, and they themselves became empty? This is a rhetorical question. It's impossible to think that the people found something wrong, so to speak, with Hashem, because the Torah tells us straight out in Sefer Dvarim, Kel Emunah ve'en avil. There is no, Hashem is ever faithful, in whom there is no iniquity. So how can you say, Ma matzu avotechem bi'avil? How could they have, what avil did they find in me when the Torah says, ein avil? There is no avil to be found. The only explanation for abandoning Hashem is the pursuit of immediate gratification, the empty pleasures of the temporal world, rather than working toward the great spiritual reward of the world to come. And the Navi poses a contrast to the opening verses of the Perek. While Hashem forever remembers our willingness to follow him into the desert, we ourselves are quick to forget. Having lost the immediacy of our connection with Hashem, how could we not have asked, where is Hashem, who brought us up from Egypt and led us through the parched and barren desert, a land which no human had civilized? After all, says Hashem, I brought you to Eretz Yisrael, called Eretz HaKarmel, a fertile land that you might benefit from its produce, and you defiled my land, making my portion into an abomination. Yirmiyahu was prophesying in the days of Yoshiyahu, long after the prophecies of Yeshayahu regarding the exile of the 10 tribes had been fulfilled. Upon seeing the desolation of such a great portion of the land of Israel, and themselves facing the challenges posed by the foreign nations surrounding them, such as Ashur, Babel, and Mitzrayim, why did they not seek Hashem? Having spoken thus to the nation, the Navi now addresses the leadership, citing 4 groups who should have been responsible for directing the nation in their service of Hashem. Pasuk Chet, verse 8, HaKohanim lo amru aye Hashem, v'tofsei HaTorah lo yida'uni, v'haro'im pash'upi, v'hanvi'im nib'u v'ba'al, v'acharei lo yo'ilu halachu. The priests did not say, where is Hashem? Those who grasp the Torah do not know me. The shepherds have sinned rebelliously against me, and the prophets prophesy in the name of the Baal and pursue that which is meaningless. Both the Alshich HaKadosh and Malbim explain this verse in keeping with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, which teaches that there are 4 crowns with which the Jewish people are adorned. Keter Kehuna, the crown of the priesthood, and yet here the priests failed in their mission to make Hashem's presence felt among the people. Keter Torah, the crown of Torah, and yet here the Torah scholars failed to know Hashem. In biblical usage, the term to know is applied to the intimacy between husband and wife. Here, it's used as a metaphor. While Torah study is meant to lead to a close, intimate relationship between Hashem and his people, it's not merely an intellectual endeavor to stimulate the mind. It's meant to stimulate the heart, the whole being. The scholars of Yirmiyahu's time, even during the Tshuva movement, which was inspired by Yoshiyahu, were insincere in their studies, and thus they failed to achieve the desired end, and they were rendered incapable of drawing the nation closer to Hashem, which is the purpose of Torah study. The crown of Malchut, Keter Malchut, was forfeited by the shepherds of the people, the kings, who were themselves sinful and led the people astray. And finally, the Keter Shem Tov, the crown of a good name, which is the penultimate crown, was forfeited by the Nevi'im, the prophets who, rather than serving as exemplars of character perfection, prophesied falsely and pursued worthlessness. Returning to the divisive rhetorical questions, Yirmiyahu exclaims, look at other nations, survey the islands of Kittim and look at Kedar, contemplate them and ask yourselves, has there ever been such a phenomenon? Has any nation ever abandoned its gods, however worthless they've proven to be? Yet my nation has exchanged its glory for that which has no purpose. The very heavens are appalled at such behavior. And Yirmiyahu offers an allegory to describe the sins of the people. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. Kishtaim ra'ot asa ami, oti azvu, mikor ma'im chayim. Lachtsov lahem borot, borot nishbarim, asher lo yachilu hamayim. For my nation has committed two wrongs against me. They have abandoned the source of living water in favor of digging cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns, which won't contain the water. Malbim explains that had the Jewish people made an even exchange, it would have been bad enough. But in exchanging their reliance upon Hashem with other sources of salvation, or what they considered to be other sources of salvation, they exchanged something of greater value for that of lesser worth. A spring of water that flows naturally, Mekor Mayim Chaim, requires no effort on man's part. The flow of its water is constant, and it's not dependent on any outside source for its supply. And I'll just mention here that Anatot, Yirmiyahu's hometown, lies along Nachal Prat, which is going to appear in more than one of his nevuot. We'll see it again. The water of Nachal Prat is found year-round, and it's always clear and plentiful. So Yirmiyahu is speaking to the people using imagery they can easily recognize. Borot, on the other hand, which also proliferates throughout the drier areas of the country, cisterns require great effort to dig, and they're dependent upon rainfall to fill, and therefore they're not a reliable source of water. They're likely to dry up. Hashem is a constant source of help and salvation, omnipotent and omnipresent. Why would the Jewish people turn to other nations for help? Nations that have to be convinced, placated, and even bribed to help them. And the help that they offer is not infallible. Their armies are also subject to possible defeat. Are you at some disadvantage, asks the Navi, that you turn to such dubious forms of assistance? Pasuk 14, Yudalid, another rhetorical question. Ha'eved Yisrael? Im yilid bayitu? Madua hayalavaz? Is Israel a slave, born to a maidservant? Why has he become an object of plunder? Yirmiyahu compares the enemies of Israel to a roaring lion who has come to devour its prey and will reduce the land to desolation. Even those to whom you have turned for assistance, even Ashur and Egypt, who seemed so powerful, upon whom you've depended, will turn upon you and crush you. They will abandon you as you have abandoned Hashem. Your evil doing will be recompensed, and you will drink the bitter waters of their rivers. The Navi goes on to recount that the people's sinfulness is not a new set of circumstances, not some passing anomaly. Pasuk Chaf, verse 20. Ki me'olam shavarti ulech, nitakti mosrotayich, vatomri lo e'evor, ki al kol giv'a gvoha v'tachat kol etz ra'anan atzo'azona. From their earliest days, the people broke free of what they considered the burden of serving Hashem, severing the yoke. Lo e'evor is a ktivu kri, written with a dalet at the end. Lo e'evod, but pronounced as if it were a resh. You claimed you would no longer transgress, and yet every hill and every tree has become a place of avodah zarah. So if read as written, it would read, you refused to serve. You refused to serve Hashem, and instead transgressed and chose to serve that which is meaningless. Yirmiyahu compares the nation to an adulteress, again, calling to mind the contrast with Hashem's memory of the people as a loving bride who has now betrayed her husband time and time again. Pasuk Chaf Aleph 21, Ve'anochi nitatich sorek kulo zera emet, ve'ech nepachtli surei hagefen nochriya. I planted you here in Eretz Yisrael as a choice vine, entirely a seed of truth. How have you turned into a weed, an alien vine? Even if you attempt to cleanse yourselves of your sins, the stains are so deep they cannot be removed. Your superficial motions of repentance are insincere. You continue to proclaim your own innocence. But how can you deny the evidence that lies before our very eyes? Pasuk Chaf Dalet 24. Perelimud midbar be'avat nafsha she'afar ruach ta'anata mi yishivena kol mevakshaha lo yi'afu bechodsha yimtza'unha. The Navi compares the people to a wild donkey, breathing heavily as she seeks her freedom. Her pursuers are tireless and will catch her in her month. This comparison is painfully ironic, as the purpose for which Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim was to elevate the nation to moral and intellectual heights, and they prefer to run wild like the lowest form of animal. Her pursuers, the prophets, the true prophets, try to rein her in, to recall her to her mission, but she refuses to listen and ultimately she will meet her destiny in the month of Av, in the fifth month, represented by the final hey added to the word Bechodsha. Yirmiyahu returns to his critique of the leadership, who have led the nation astray, so that they call to trees and stones, "You are my father! You gave me life!" And then in times of suffering, call to Hashem, "Save us!" Va'ayei Elohecha asher asita lach, yakumu im yoshi'uch be'et ra'atech, ki mispar arecha hayu Elohecha Yehuda. Where are your gods that you made for yourself? Let them arise and save you in your time of need. For you have as many gods as there are cities in Yehuda. And this is the end of the Haftarah of Punishment that's read the second week of the 3 weeks. We append, when we read the Haftarah, one or two psukim differences between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim so that we don't end on such a bitter note. The Perek, however, continues with the Navi continuing to berate Yisrael for having forgotten Hashem, returning to the image with which the prophecy opened. Hatishkach, Pasuk Lamed Bet 32, Hatishkach betula edya, kala kishureha, ve'ami shchechuni, yamim ein mispar. Does a maiden forget her jewels, a bride her adornments? Yet my people have forgotten me, for days too numerous to count. This verse brings the theme of the Perek full circle. Hashem remembers our betrothal to him and our entering into the covenant with him to our credit, even after our betrayal. Yet we throw off our commitment, pursue the illusion of freedom, and place our trust in others, in other gods, and in alliances with nations such as Ashur and Mitzrayim, who will abandon us in our time of need. Thank you for learning together. לרפואה שלמה ליונינה סימה בת דפנה הינדה, ג'ניפר היקרה שלנו, ולפצועי צהל, אחינו היקרים, בתוך שאר חולי ישראל, נינה וחיים שנקר.